Accession number 18619, Reel 3.
It looked hideous, and one of the posterns, that's the guards, was standing on the bank, which was somewhere away, laughing at the thing that chap was creating, and whilst he was doing it, I foolishly said to him, Kaiser Bill, meaning he was a caricature of the Kaiser. That infuriated the bloke, and he came down afterwards to see if he could locate me to put me under to guard or something or other. But anyway, there were ways and means of escaping things like that. My colleagues saw that they hid me away from that guard. Well, that was subsequently built, and used to have riotous sing songs of a night in there. Not us, of course, the Germans. Of course, the prisoners were going along with all their sort of sing songs and trying to think of something. Oh, there was another job we I went on with plate laying on the Berlin to Hamburg line, and there was about 24 of us used to go and do a section each day, and we got to learn a bit about that, packing the sleepers and the line, and we used to get the old line up and have the new line ready. Only by a certain time, so that there was a train every day in the afternoon going to have a... I can't speak anymore, can I? Another job we had was going out to Spandau. A large hospital there, and we had several days coaling. About four of us. Oh, another interesting job was that there was one party required to go out to some gardening area and help with the work there, labouring. That party was always covered by one middle-aged, fatherly old German, fatherly German soldier, and this Erlangen's place, and is behind a guest house, a pub, and else entry. He was quite an affable sort of chap, and he was quite content to sit down and let us get on with work. So we got the habit of plying him with beer, because we had a certain amount of currency, German currency, to use, and he thought that was a lovely job to be in, and there was always a fight for the party to get onto his group to go out to this pub. Not very. And eventually I was a party of about 12 of us was sent out to a commando on a big estate at Fair Berlin. Now, I didn't realize it at the time, but we were to finish although we went out beginning of 1917, we were still there when the armistice was signed. It was quite a large state ahead, all modern equipment, and yes, it had a big mansion, big house, steps up to either side, a German general, it was his home, and I think his daughter, wife there lived with him, and also a daughter with her two children. And all prisoners had a special job to do in following the forces, potato season, and things like that. And I, for some unknown reason, they they cottoned on to me to work in the garden. He was very elderly, of course, and a knowledgeable man, a German authority on roses and several other plants, geraniums, I think, was another one of his. And he's got a nice hot house there, and which he used to force things up to be he had some lovely nearly grove maize. He had onion beds galore, and what's other? And he used to show me how to collect certain things. There was these things. I'd better put this off now. I'm so tired, weary. How far had I got? I was talking about the garden, wasn't I? Now, that garden, he grew everything, asparagus, and he taught me how to go around and collect it. them is 7 inches from with an angled cutter on it, and you just go 200 season. You used to go around 3 times a day, and of course the beds were all nicely soft, powdery soil, and you had to watch intently to see whether the soil was being lifted, and spot that you clear the way with your finger, make sure there was a shoot of asparagus there, and once you were sure, then you put the knife down at an angle and cut it off, and it went on till about the 15th of July, no, so things go to seed after then, and used to grow up to about 6 foot high, the branches, and that was one of my jobs, going around with the scythe and cutting them down. That's amazing what jobs I got on to do. Of course, they had cattle and pigs and sheep and that, and one of the jobs we had to do was to help the farm people and the slaughter to kill cattle for feeding purposes. That had to do. Question of those things being cattle being killed and used on the side. Every animal that was killed on a farm or a slaughterhouse there, half of it had to be sent into the military authorities, and they were allowed to retain half of their own. Consumption. It's a bit of an ordeal when you weren't used to it. The legs of the pigs were tied up, one either side, two at the front, two at the back, and the pigs were poleaxe the animal and immediately put on a bench and yes, dear.
You all right?
Yes, I'm all right.
That's good. See you in a minute.
Hey?
I'll see you in a minute.
In a minute?
Yeah.
Okay, dear.
All right.
And the guard, the slaughterer, or butcher, or call it what you like, caught the blood of the animal, which was immediately taken into the farmhouse and cooked it somehow or the other. And we had black pudding for quite some time. That's all we got out of it. Lambs, similar sort of treatment, but none of the thing they did on this farm, oh, this is a big estate, they had sort of, what do you call it, wine producer or what, or spirit, no, they had some machinery in a big section of the works there. For extracting spiritus from potatoes. Now, I never knew anything about this at the time, and very little information about, really, but eventually I found out that what they would call spiritus was what the Irish call poteen, and apparently the Irish had worked on the, of extracting this spirit from potatoes. The parades came in for the fields, and bad ones as well as good ones, all put onto a trough and rushed, washed. And that was the privilege of seeing them gradually clean and pass on the belt into the machinery. And I think it was something that the barley went in with them. And eventually the fluid, the spirit as they called it, was drained into into big vats, and that's as soon as they had a complete a certain quantity, the distilleries were informed, and they sent down their peculiar kind of wagons with barrels, wooden barrels, for carting back to the distillery to somehow turn into schnapps. We never knew how that was arranged, but anyway, they had a couple of prisoners to do the pumping from the vats to the barrels. Now the barrels that they used were quite commonplace in that area, and there were plenty of old ones to hang around. So one of the prisoners said that some of the spirits had back to the camp. Well, actually it's what happened, but it was a peculiar thing. So we could never make it palatable. Somebody said that the spirits were 98 degrees, whatever that meant, I don't know. And it was tried with hot water, with coffee, with tea. No, could never make it palatable. But only a half a cupful sipped of an evening, and it was just like having a dreary night. Yes, that's a prosperous sort of estate there. And I've got on well with all the people, and as I worked in that garden, and I learned quite a lot from him, and I was able to use my experience when I was running my own garden in London. June was free with it, the end of September, I think, end of 1917, in the October, there was a flu epidemic in Spain, Spanish flu, I think they called it, which was rather deadly, very deadly at the time, and not only in Spain where it started off, but in Germany, quite a lot of people lost their lives, passed away in it, and the gardener and his family were the only ones who could provide floral tributes for. Potsdam, working there for a while, and that was in, let me see, in a, yes, a fruit orchard. I was sent there with about 8 of us, and during the fruit picking season, which was quite interesting. And nearby there was a big estate owned by one of the Kaiser's sons. Now he had some children there, and also a lady governess. And they used to come walking around the orchard during their days, I suppose it was part of their lessons. I found out that the lady in question was well educated, of course she had to be able to do that job, and she started speaking to me, and I got talking, and we were discussing things, and she used to ask me to meet her down at the gate after working hours, not for any reason, but just for information. She'd finished her education by a course in England and got to like it there very, very much in the Midlands somewhere, and she started asking me all sorts of questions about it. Well, this used to go on every night, and the people there were wondering what was going on. They needn't have worried, because there's nothing else but talk, and eventually, getting towards the end of the fruit picking season, and they decided to shift me back to the camp, to the prisoner of war camp where I came from. I suppose, I don't know whether they had false ideas or some romantic element being in it, but God, that was no farther from my mind. Anyway, I got back to the camp after that, and the next job I had was worse than any. I was sent out to a dust tip,